drops overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Though darkest tunnels the soul can sing. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. On the third. Won't you come with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Mr. Geyer, will you pray for us? Amen. You may be seated for our second song. Our second song is number 522. Number 522, Since I Have Been Redeemed. Number 522.
Savior's name. I have a Christ that satisfies since I have been redeemed. To do his will, my highest price since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear since I have been redeemed. Dispelling every doubt and fear since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed. I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me, since I have been redeemed. Where I shall dwell eternally, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
Our final song is number 269. 269. In the Garden, 269.
I hear falling on my
speaks in the sound of his voice. It's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walked with me, and he talked with me, and he told me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. We'll sing the third chorus a cappella.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of law. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Thank you, young people. That was a great special. And thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. It is great to see you guys all back I'm going to try and move this computer. The slideshow does not have anything to do with my message, so there we go. Try not to break this. Oh, well, that is awesome. Well, come on up. I'm not going to sing. Thank you, ladies. That is one of my favorite songs. Pastor's probably just shaking his head, wondering, now, why did I get this guy to come down? I'll try to do better. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to be talking about verses 8 through 18 tonight. And just kind of looking at the theme, this is Paul's first admonition to Timothy, kind of his first encouragement, first admonition on being loyal to Christ. And as you're turning there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's a story. Some of you may have heard it before. It's kind of a famous story. I like World War II. I like history. And World War II is my favorite period of history. But there's a story about an Imperial Japanese Army officer named Hiro Onoda. And he was deployed to Lubang Island in the Philippines in 1944. And his orders were explicitly clear: never surrender or take your own life. Believing that all the reports of Japan's defeat in 1945 were just deceptions by the American forces to try and trick him into surrendering, he continued in guerrilla warfare for nearly 30 years. He had a small band of men that were with him, and for 30 years after the end of World War II, he continued fighting local forces and trying to fight back the Filipinos who he thought were still in the war. And they would drop newspaper articles and things to him from the airplanes into the jungle where he was, and he would read them, and he thought they were just trying to trick him into surrendering. And he knew his orders were to stay and fight with guerrilla warfare until he died and never surrender. And so Onoda's incredible vigil ended on March 9th, 1974, when his former commanding officer, Major Yoshimi Taniguchi, was flown to the island and officially relieved him of his duties. He was still wearing his original uniform. He surrendered his rifle and his sword to the Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos. He had a group, like I said, a small group. They would gather coconuts and bananas. They would steal livestock. And over the decades, his comrades either surrendered or died in skirmishes with the local police, leaving Onoda completely alone for the final years of his own war. And it was kind of a shock to the globe when they heard this story, but it was an astonishing symbol of unwavering discipline and loyalty to the orders that were given to him. And we can think throughout history of different occasions in which men were given a task and they were loyal to that. They were loyal to their country. They would not give in. And history is full of men and women like that. We studied last year the men and even a lot of the ladies who suffered and died during the wars protecting America. They were loyal to the United States, loyal to the Constitution of the United States to give us freedom. And loyalty is a character trait that we really admire in people. If somebody has ever been disloyal to you or turned their back on you, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, right? And the most important person that we could be loyal to is Jesus Christ. And so this is really Paul's burden for Timothy. We looked about, as I've mentioned before, 2 Timothy was Paul's last book he ever wrote. He's writing to his son Timothy. And in verses 1 through 5, he's thanking God. He's being thankful for the different things that are in Timothy's life, for the faith that Timothy has that's been poured into him by other people. And then in verses 6 and 7, kind of that thesis statement of the book: wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so Paul's burden is for Timothy to stand strong and be loyal to Christ. As we see in these next few verses, there's some things that he's telling Paul or Timothy to be loyal to. And as we read these verses, he's telling Timothy, I want you to be loyal to the Lord. Verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Secondly, he wants him to be loyal to the gospel. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, verses 8 through 12. Verse 13, he encourages Timothy, be loyal to sound teaching, to sound words or true doctrine. Hold fast the form of sound words. And then in verse 14, he says, the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. He's encouraging Timothy, stand loyal in the calling that God has given you as the pastor there at Ephesus. And then in verses 15 through 18, he goes through some examples of people that were either A, disloyal to Paul, to the gospel, to the Lord, And then Onesiphorus, who was an example of loyalty that Timothy should follow. And so as we read these verses and kind of work through them, I want to be looking for those things that we as Christians ought to be loyal to. Remember, Timothy was in a place and a time where there was a lot of pressure to be disloyal as a Christian. Okay, so first of all, in verses 8, as we read that, he says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, that's Paul, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So these first two things, they kind of go hand in hand, but as you think about them, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. What is Paul getting at? What is this first admonition of loyalty that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy? He's urging him not to be ashamed of having a testimony as a Christian. Paul is associated with the Lord. And then he kind of adds to it, nor of me his prisoner. Now, is Paul trying to urge Timothy to feel sorry for him? Paul's locked up in this prison. He knows his execution is coming. And is he just trying to get some sympathy, like, oh, don't be ashamed of me, you know, come visit me? And, you know, everyone else is kind of embarrassed about me and it makes me feel bad. Is that what Paul's getting at? Not necessarily. But what does Paul and his life represent? He is the number one leading evangelist of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is probably the most prominent Christian at this time. As you think about church history and you look back and you say, who is the leading apostle? Well, for a while it was Peter, really with the Jews. And then the second half of Acts, it transitions and Paul really becomes the most prominent apostle. He's probably the number one guy when people think about Christianity, the apostle Paul. And so Paul's not just trying to garner sympathy, like, oh, don't be ashamed of me, don't be embarrassed about me, but he's really encouraging Timothy, don't be ashamed of me and what I stand for. Paul was stalwart in his defense of Jesus Christ. He was not going to back down on being a Christian. That's what he was in prison for. He wasn't in prison for trying to stir up rebellion. He wasn't in prison for tax evasion or anything like that. He was in prison not because he had done anything wrong against the law, but because he was a Christian. That's what he was in prison for. And he was in prison for preaching the gospel. And so these two things kind of coincide. But Timothy had a lot of pressure to not be a bold Christian, right? If he was a proud proclaimer of the gospel and tried to associate with the Apostle Paul, it's very likely that he could have been arrested and killed as well. And so Paul is encouraging him, don't give in to that pressure. You know, today in America, we're not necessarily going to be arrested for becoming a Christian. You know, there's been times in American history it's happened, and I'm not saying it never will happen, but, you know, we're here tonight, and the police aren't coming to arrest us like they would somewhere, let's say, in China or in Iran or somewhere like that, right? But are we still tempted to be ashamed of our testimony as a Christian? If you think about your week this week, it's easy to kind of try and keep your mouth shut, right? I know I grew up in a Christian home, but I've worked in a Christian environment, and it's easy to kind of just sit back, not say anything, and just kind of blend in, right? I don't like to ruffle feathers. And, you know, at work, I work on the ambulance, and I'll have partners sometimes on the ambulance, and they're just going on, you know, just debauchery, you know, oh, I was getting hammered this weekend, and they're just going on, and they think it's the greatest thing. And there's two temptations. I can be like, all right, they don't know I'm a Christian, I'm not going to say anything, and I'll just kind of let them rant on and pretend like it doesn't bother me. But there's been times when I've been convicted, and I should have done this more often, but when I just say something like, you know what, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in drinking, and, you know, trying to give them the gospel a little bit, and a lot of times they don't really enjoy talking to me that much after that. They don't really have much in common with me. But more often than not, I just sit there and I just let it kind of go. And I'm ashamed of the testimony I have as a Christian. And not that we're trying to be confrontational or anything, but it's easy in our day and age to just try and be a silent Christian, we call it. Somebody who's kind of ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Well, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 9, verses 26? And this is what Paul's heart is. This is what he's trying to encourage Timothy not to do. So I'm just going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 26, a powerful statement that Jesus Christ himself makes. Luke 9, 26. Jesus said, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. And that's a verse that's repeated elsewhere. But Jesus Christ said, if you're ashamed to claim me on earth, I'm going to be ashamed of you before the Father. And so this isn't just Paul's admonition. This is something that Christ was trying to get across to his disciples. Let's not be ashamed of being known for being, let's not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Let's not be ashamed as being a Christian. As we go about our daily tasks, our life, it's very easy to be tempted to silent, just go about our way, not ruffle any feathers, and be ashamed of the testimony of as a Christian. So Paul asked Timothy not to be ashamed of Paul, not because he wants Timothy's sympathy or he's selfish or anything, but because of who Paul was known for. And so Paul reminds Timothy, he admonishes him here, don't be ashamed, just as Paul is not ashamed. Paul always tried to live a life that was an example that others could follow. And here again, we see he's doing that again. We know that famous verse, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was always conscious of the fact that he was an example to so many people, and especially here to Timothy. Paul wasn't going to back down. He was not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and that's why he was in prison. That's why he was suffering so greatly. And I want to just ask you, are you ashamed of the testimony of the Lord? Or could you say like Paul, hey, follow my example. Don't be ashamed of my example. If you follow me, are other people going to know that you're a Christian? Could you say that like the Apostle Paul? And so just a challenge, first of all, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Be loyal to the Lord and his testimony. Secondly, be faithful to the gospel. That's Paul's second thing that he's trying to get across in these verses. The last half of chapter 8, or verse 8, says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul is reminding Timothy, be faithful to the gospel. That's the root, the foundation of where we can find our courage. It's not in ourselves. Paul reminds Timothy that not according to our works, verse 10, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus. That's where we can find our courage, is in the fact that, first of all, we've been saved. We are a Christian. And secondly, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be loyal, be faithful to the gospel. So first of all, be loyal to the testimony of the Lord. Be loyal to that. You know, don't be ashamed of being a Christian. And secondly, don't be ashamed. Be faithful to the gospel. We're not to be ashamed of it, but we're also to stay true to the gospel. What was the other thing that Timothy was really facing at this time? He was facing a lot of outward pressure not to be known as a Christian, to be ashamed of being a Christian, but he was also facing a lot of internal pressure as a pastor of a church in Ephesus to compromise on the gospel. That's something the devil is going to try and get Christians to do over and over again, from the very beginning all the way until now. The devil is always trying to corrupt the gospel. He's always trying to get us to waver on the gospel. And there's a couple ways he does that, either through false teaching, through a false gospel, and that's what Timothy is really battling in his church. This idea that Jesus Christ wasn't really deity, or the idea that you can earn your way into heaven by following these good works, following the Old Testament law. Just as long as you add some works to salvation, then you can really get into heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose he saved us. It's all according to what Jesus Christ has done. And so there's a lot of temptation in Timothy's church. There's a lot of false teachers around, and they're trying to get Timothy to compromise on the gospel, to teach a false gospel. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, don't compromise, be faithful to the gospel. And it's rooted in the fact that we haven't done anything. We don't earn our own salvation, right? And we don't have our own courage. We don't stand up on our own bootstraps, so to speak, and try to be stalwart on the gospel and just be abrasive and be confrontational. No, We trusted Christ to save us, and we can trust Christ to give us the power to stay true to Him. We can trust Christ to give us the enabling. And so Paul ties Timothy's reasons for loyalty and boldness in life and ministry to the foundation on which he believed and Christ's infinite ability. All right? And as you think about it, verse 10, but now is made manifest, this gospel has been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who first of all abolished death. What was Paul facing? He was facing death. He was about to be executed. And he says, I'm not worried. I don't have to fear. I can stay strong in the gospel because Jesus Christ has conquered death. They may kill my body, but I'm going to stand before Christ for eternity. They're never going to be able to take my soul. And I don't want to be ashamed of the Lord even in this last hour. I don't have to fear death because Christ has already abolished it. I've been set free eternally. So Christ has abolished death. He's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he's now been appointed to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And because of he's been faithful, he's been true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he suffers these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Paul's not ashamed. Because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's like what Pastor was saying today earlier. Is I don't have to fear dying and going to hell because I know who I have believed. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and he's never gone back on his word. That's the basis of our salvation. That's the basis of the gospel. He's abolished death. He's brought to light life and immortality to light through the gospel. And I don't have to be ashamed because I know who I'm believing. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He's never failed anybody yet. As Pastor mentioned today, he's never one time gone back on his word. And that's the basis of where I can get my courage. That's the basis of how I know I can stay faithful to the gospel because I have a faithful God. And so Paul's admonishing Timothy, don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Be a bold Christian. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. Stay faithful to the gospel. Don't compromise on the gospel. And do you know the gospel? If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. You're never going to be able to stand firm as a Christian if you aren't a Christian, if you've never been saved. And so if you're here tonight and you recognize that I'm a sinner, I've sinned against a holy God, and I can't. It's not in my works that I can save myself. That's not where salvation comes from. It's through Jesus Christ, who's died, paid for our sins, and brought to light immortality through the gospel. And so put your faith in Jesus Christ if you're not a Christian here today. But secondly, do you know the gospel? Can you give the gospel to somebody? Are you ashamed to give the gospel to anybody? I know that's another temptation. You know, first of all, it's one thing to be known as a Christian, right? Maybe your coworkers already know you're a Christian, and that's great. They know you have a testimony. You go to church every day, and you're a believer. But do you give them the gospel? Are you ashamed to give out the gospel? If Paul would have been just a faithful Christian and in a nice little area and had a nice little community of people that he went to church with and didn't really ever bother anybody else, then he probably wouldn't be in the situation he was in. But because he was a proud proclaimer of the gospel, he was faithful in giving out the gospel. That's why he was in prison. And so just challenging us today, are we ashamed of being a Christian? Are we ashamed of giving out the gospel? When was the last time we gave out the gospel? Be faithful to the gospel. The gospel doesn't do anybody any good if they don't know it. And so be faithful in giving out the gospel. The third thing that Paul admonishes Timothy to be loyal to is he tells him to be committed to sound doctrine. Verse 13, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul exhorts Timothy, be loyal and steadfast to the sound teaching or the doctrine, the words passed down from Paul to Timothy. And we have many of those words. We have Paul's doctrine, which is ultimately Christ's word. It's in the Bible. We have all of that right here. Everything that Paul had taught Timothy, all the teaching and doctrine that Paul had brought on to Timothy, he says, stand firm in sound doctrine. And again, that kind of goes side by side with the gospel. These false teachers, these people are trying to corrupt the gospel. They're trying to corrupt sound doctrine. And so Paul is admonishing Timothy, stand firm in sound doctrine. Don't waver on that. It's the gospel is important, and there's other things that maybe aren't the gospel, things that we stand strong on. The infallibility of Scripture, believers' baptism, the priesthood of the believer, different things. There's different doctrines that we find in the Word of God. And it's important to know those doctrines so that we aren't corrupted in those doctrines. The deity of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth. Those were big things, big battles in liberalism and fundamentalism back a number of years ago, and they still are. If a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on your door, they're going to try and twist your doctrine. They're going to try and twist and give you false doctrine, false teaching. Are you going to stand firm in the doctrine of the Bible, or are you going to be corrupted by that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 kind of gives us another admonition. You just turn over a couple verses over, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." In other words, continue thou, stay faithful, stay loyal to sound doctrine. Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So how do we find, how do we know we have sound doctrine? We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to be faithful to the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Know the Bible. Know what the Bible teaches about who Jesus Christ is. Know what the Bible teaches about who we as people are, about sin and holy living. And just, we have to know the scriptures. That's how we're going to be able to stand against false teaching, against false doctrines. And today, there's so many avenues that false teaching can get into the church. If we don't know our Bibles, we're going to get confused. If we don't study and know the Word of God, we're going to get thrown off. There's false teachers in Timothy's days going around trying to corrupt false, trying to propagate false teaching. Today, there's so many false teachers. It's so accessible. You know, we have the internet, we have radio, we have books, podcasts, and these false teachers are out there, and it's so easy to get a hold of false doctrine. And if we're not faithful, if we're not committed to sound doctrine, we're going to get off somewhere. I see this so often in Kenya. You'll see somebody get saved, and they start coming to church, and it's wonderful, and it's amazing, and they don't know their Bibles. And then they start listening to somebody on the internet. They start getting a hold of some books or something like that, and they just get so thrown off in their doctrine because they don't know their Bibles. And so it's a temptation for all of us from the time of Timothy to today. Know the Bible. Know the Word of God. Be in the Bible. And just an encouragement to parents, are you teaching your kids the Scriptures? You know, it's one thing for you to be in church and to have sound doctrine, but if you've never passed that on to your children, they're going to grow up and they could easily get swept off somewhere. And so Timothy had this wonderful privilege. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. But verse 15, chapter 3, 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And so Timothy's mom and grandma really made sure that Timothy knew the Bible. And that's where we're going to find sound doctrine, is in its faithful studying of the Word of God. And so parents, just an encouragement, make sure your kids know the Bible. Have them memorizing verses. Have them in church where they're learning the Bible as much as they can. Because if they don't, somebody's going to come up and trip them up. The devil is a very deceptive enemy. And he will trip up your children very quickly if they're not grounded in the Word of God. And so just a challenge, a little challenge there for parents and kids as well. Make sure you know your Bibles. There's no age too young to start studying your Bible. You don't have to wait until you're in Bible college. You don't have to wait until you're married or have kids of your own to start studying the Bible. You better know the Bible now. As young as you can read, start studying and memorizing the Word of God. That's how we're going to be faithful to sound doctrine. And so, thirdly, first of all, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Be faithful to the gospel. Be committed to sound doctrine, thirdly. And then lastly, have a devotion to God's calling on your life. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. And we've kind of looked at this before, but verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And we see this theme throughout 2 Timothy. Timothy has been called to be a pastor at this church in Ephesus. That's his calling in life. And Paul is encouraging him, be loyal to the calling that God has given you. Don't waver on that. Don't give that up and go pursue something else and just kind of forget what God's called you to do. He says God's given you a job to do. Be loyal to that job. We think of that Japanese officer. He was given a very specific job. And until his commanding officer came, they flew him in 30 years later and said, hey, talk to this guy. Tell him he's done with his job. Is that our commitment? You know, if God's called you to Bethel Community Baptist Church and he's given you some gifts to help the church, are you loyal? Are you committed to the tasks that God has given you? If he's called you and maybe you work and you have coworkers that God has put into your life, he's given you family members and it's your job to give them the gospel, are you loyal to that calling that God has given you? If God's called you into some sort of ministry someday, be loyal to that calling that God has given you. Every Christian here has something that God has for them. That's why we're not in heaven yet. It's because we're here on earth. He's got a job for us to do. He's got a mission, a calling for us. Are you being loyal to what God has given you? For Timothy, that looked like pastoring the church at Ephesus. I don't think any of us are called to pastor a church in Ephesus right now. But we've all been given some sort of a job. We've all have some sort of a ministry and building up this church and reaching out to other people with the gospel. And are you being loyal to that? If you were to compare yourself to the unsaved Japanese soldier who was on that island fighting something secular, I mean, it was a big war, right? We look at that and admire that, but we have a much higher calling as Christians. We have a much more superior commanding officer. Are you faithful in giving out the gospel? That was Jesus's last command to us. And as a church member here, as a Christian here, are you faithful to the church that God has called you to be a part of? And building up the believers around you. Each of us has a job. Are we faithful? Are we devoted to God's calling on our life? That good thing which is committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost. That he's the one who gives us those jobs. He's the one who gives us those callings. And he'll enable us to be faithful to that. And so there's four areas that we've looked at that Paul is admonishing Timothy, that Christ is reminding us of us today. We need to be loyal to. We need to be loyal to to the testimony of Christ, faithful to the gospel, committed to sound doctrine, and devoted to God's calling. And then verses 15 through 16, Paul kind of gives us some examples of people who were disloyal and people who were loyal. And so verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which were in Asia are turned away from me. So Paul's saying, all those people in Asia Minor, in Turkey, those people that I've worked with, they've turned against me. They've kind of left me. They've abandoned me. And then he gives two examples, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. These two men that stand out in Paul's mind. Somehow the Holy Scripture or the Holy Spirit caused Paul to write this in the Scripture. These two men are mentioned, and their testimony is that they were disloyal to Paul. And they were disloyal to the testimony of the Lord. They didn't want to be associated with Paul. They're like, this is too risky. I'm not going to jail. I don't want to be known with Paul. And who is Paul known for standing for? He was associated with Christ. So ultimately, they're being disloyal to Christ. They don't want to be known as Christians. They're like, nah, I'd rather just live a little more comfortably. I don't want to go to jail with Paul. That's too extreme. That's not worth it. The gospel is not really worth my getting arrested for, my losing my life for. They're like, well, this sound doctrine, you know, Paul's a little extreme. I'm going to back off. I don't want to ruffle feathers like that. I'm just going to be a silent Christian. And these guys kind of abandoned the Apostle Paul. They've abandoned the Lord. They are ashamed. They're not standing loyal. They're not standing strong. They've abandoned everything that Paul stands for, everything that they've abandoned Paul and what he stands for because the cost was too great. It wasn't worth it. Jesus wasn't worth it to them. And so as we think of our own lives, when we're ashamed of standing up as a Christian, when we're ashamed of giving the gospel, is it because Christ isn't worth it in our lives? Pastor Heffernan, he's kind of a little extreme. I don't want to be associated with him. You know, I don't know. But we can use human examples, but ultimately it's Christ. Are we ashamed of being known as a Christian? Are we ashamed of Christ? And that's what the testimony of these two guys are. But then we have Onesiphorus, verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. He wasn't ashamed that Paul was in prison here. He says, verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You know, we don't know too much about Onesiphorus, but we in verse chapter 4, verse 19, Paul is closing out the book here to Timothy. He says, "Salute, say hi to Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." So it seems like this guy Onesiphorus was a church member here in Ephesus, where Timothy was a pastor. So Timothy knew this guy. He knew what kind of guy this was. And Onesiphorus, he's in Ephesus, but somehow he comes to Rome. Verse 17, he comes to Rome, and when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. You know, he couldn't just text Paul and be like, "Hey, I'm in Rome. Send me your location. Send me a pin where you're at, and I'll come visit you." He had to do some digging to try and find out, where is Paul kept? Where is he? How can I get to Paul? And in doing that, you're asking some questions that make it obvious that you're associated with Paul, right? And so he's probably asking soldiers, he's asking the jailer, "Hey, I know, is Paul in this prison? Is he in the Mamertine prison?" And he's going around trying to find where Paul is so he can be a blessing to him. What a testimony he has. And he's got these verses dedicated to him in the Bible for all of eternity. He's going to be known as the guy who is not ashamed to stand with Paul. You know, he may have just been a layman at the church in Ephesus. We don't really know much about him. We don't see him really elsewhere in Scripture, but we see here his testimony is he was going to stand strong with Paul. He was going to be loyal to the Lord and to Paul. And so he was a huge blessing. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. So he had a testimony of being a blessing to people and trying to help people in Ephesus. And now he's here in Rome, and he's not ashamed of being with Paul. He could have easily been just thrown in jail. He's like knocking on the jail's door, like, "Hey, is Paul in here? Can I come visit him? Can I come be a blessing?" And they could say, "Yeah, you're going to go visit him. You're going to stay with him." He could have easily been his sentence. You know, Phygelus and Hermogenes, they're like, "Yeah, that's not worth it. I'm not going to look out Paul. I don't want to end up in prison with him. I don't want to be killed for being a Christian." But Onesiphorus, he wasn't worried about that, because he had his mind in the right place. He knew that Jesus Christ was worth it. And he knew that if I die, it's okay. Christ has abolished death, and I have immortality through Christ. And so here you have these two examples, guys who are ashamed of Paul, and guys who are a man, Onesiphorus, who was not ashamed of Paul. He was not ashamed of being known as a Christian and standing strong with Paul. So ask yourself today, which one do you want to be known as? Do you want to be known as the guy who was always kind of ashamed of being known as a Christian or giving out the gospel? Or do you want to be like Onesiphorus? He wasn't a flashy guy or anything like that necessarily. He's only mentioned a few times in Scripture. He certainly wasn't the Apostle Paul. But he had a good testimony. He was loyal to what God had given him to do. And God had used him to be a blessing to Paul. So as we wrap it up today, just an encouragement for us today, are we ashamed of the testimony of the Lord? Or are we loyal to the testimony as a Christian? Are we faithful to the gospel? Know the gospel. Be faithful to the gospel. Be devoted to be committed to sound doctrine. Know the Bible. Know Scripture. Teach it to your children. Know what sound doctrine is so that you're not twisted up in false teaching. And then be devoted to the calling that God's given you. Don't back down from what God's given you to do, both here at the church and in giving out the gospel. That's Paul's admonition to Timothy here. There's a lot of pressures on Timothy. There's a lot of reasons for him to kind of be a silent Christian, to kind of give up on pastoring. It was a hard job, and to just give in to these false teachers. But Paul's burden was, and Timothy's testimony was, that he was loyal to Christ. And so may that be our testimony today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for, again, just a challenge from the book of 2 Timothy, from the life of Timothy and from Paul's own example, Lord, of loyalty and faithfulness to Christ and to the gospel, and Lord, to everything that the Bible stands for. I pray that we would have that same testimony, Lord, that you would give us that same commitment to faithfulness and loyalty to Christ. I pray that we wouldn't be ashamed, Lord. There's so many pressures in our day and age to capitulate, to be a silent Christian, to not ruffle feathers and not offend people, Lord. But I pray that we would be faithful to you as you've been faithful to us. Lord, we know that you are a faithful God, and if we put our trust in you, you're not going to let us down. And so we just commit this all to you, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Taylor.
rousing words. When it's time to suffer, will we stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are not ashamed of his gospel, of the testimony of the Lord, to follow in his footsteps and to experience what he has gone through. Very encouraging. Well, we're planning on having several meetings here, and so we'll have our quarterly business meeting in about 5 minutes. So we'll start that about the top of the hour and give you a chance to get a little break and then come back in for that. So thank you so much. Lord bless you.